Hello and welcome to the Will Leach Experience Podcast, Footer and Leach Edition, ALCS Preview Edition. A lot has happened, it's fair to say, since we talked to you last. We didn't feel like it was worthwhile, or I didn't feel like it was worthwhile, doing another big weekend wrap-up thing. I figured we'd just wait. The series would be almost over anyway. We can just go ahead and go into the ALCS previews. I'm here with Allison Footer. She was watching, you were at every game of the Astros-Royals series, correct?
I was at every last game. Very exciting series.
Every last drop. What was it like? Before we start talking about the ALCS, I want to talk specifically about two things. One thing you were at, one thing I presume you saw, unless you were asleep, which I don't blame you as much as you've been traveling. But first off, being at game four, at that Astros-Royals game, right before the Royals hit like 80 singles in a row to ultimately take over and win that game, did it feel... You know, you were there in 05 before Pujols hit that homer. Did it have that feel where everyone assumed, okay, we've got this, and then it just got real quiet? Was that what it was like there?
Yeah, in the fact that it was like, yeah, they're six outs away, and it just kept, you know, it was like a tidal wave that just kept happening and got quieter and quieter. I don't think that it was quite as devastating. I think that the 2005, and I get that they won the pennant the next game, and I get that it was, you know, I mean, it messed them up for the World Series because Roy Oswalt had to pitch that game instead of pitching the first game of the World Series, but, you know, they still won the pennant. But the actual, like, when that actually happened, I feel like that was, like, probably the worst moment in the history of the franchise, even worse than, like, the 86 loss. But with this, and I know that I'm kind of, like, far removed from, like, really being emotionally invested in any of this, but it was sort of like, well, this team wasn't even supposed to really be in this position anyway. And yeah, I mean, it totally like sucked because there were 40,000 people there. The roof was closed. Everybody was loud. It was like the greatest atmosphere. But at the same time,
Correa had just hit that homer. Like his
Correa hit the homer, but then, you know, the bullpen comes in and everyone's like, oh God, you know, like what's going to happen now? You know, they get a couple guys on base and, you know, you felt it. Whereas with 2005, you had Brad Lidge on the mound. And so there was like no doubt that they were actually going to win that pennant right then and there. So yeah, it was a bummer, but I don't feel like it was the same kind of just deflation as it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. They seem to still be of the mindset, we'll be back next year. And this is their growing period. So yes. I'm curious, were you watching that seventh inning of that Blue Jays Rangers game?
I was not because I was because we were covering this game. So
understood. Quite understood.
So we were kind of like it was on all, you know, it was on all the TVs at Kauffman Stadium, and so it's like I'd, you know, come over to the elevators to go back to the press box, and I'm trying to, you know, catch whatever I can, and then I get to the press box, and so I did see the Batista home run. But I did not see the complete meltdown of the Rangers infield defense that led to any of this.
The two separate throwing of beer bottles for different reasons.
No, and I did not see that. Yeah.
First they threw them because they were mad. Then they threw them because they were happy. So, you know, I guess it's just maybe it's like I remember I went to a game in Montreal one time, and there was a woman sitting next to me with her son. And all of a sudden, her son, who was like 7 years old, started smacking the metal seat against the back of the chair and like doing it really loud and repeatedly, you know. And listen, it's a baseball game. You're allowed to make noise, but it was very irritating. So I kind of looked at the woman, like just, I wasn't like, get your kid together, but I kind of like, you know, just, you know, your kid's doing something kind of. And then she started doing it, and I realized that was how they made noise in the old Olympic Stadium. So I thought maybe, yeah, like that was actually how they did it. That was like their thing because the place was so cavernous and there were so many empty seats often that they would ram the seats. That was a way they would collectively make noise. And I thought, wow, Canada is weird. So so I thought maybe this is like a thing they do in Canada to celebrate, whether they are happy or whether they are sad, they throw beer on the field. Not recommended, but as pointed out on the Baseball Prospectus podcast, it was a rare moment for the Rogers Center's groundskeepers to shine. Because ordinarily, what are they even doing? They've got turf. They've got a roof.
Right.
What are they doing all day? They at least had a moment where everyone got to see them. So I'm proud for them.
You know, I used to say about, like, when the Astros were still in the Astrodome, and I was working for them at the time, and I was like, what exactly does the Hits groundskeeper do? at the Astrodome with AstroTurf. So yeah, that's true. So the grass.
They rake and pick up beer bottles.
You can find the bright side of just about anything. Well, so exactly. That's impressive.
Yeah, I'm a plucky sort. but we haven't talked about the Cardinals until the NLCS podcast. So there, we'll see if we can find a bright side there. So let's talk about this series, Blue Jays Royals. It's kind of weird. The Blue Jays have been considered like the de facto favorite in the American League for so long, it's right. Kind of easy to forget, as though you can currently attest. This series, Kansas City has the home field. This series is starting in Kansas City. It's ending in Kansas City for all the craziness of what went on in Toronto. We probably will not see this series settled there. Do you think that's an advantage for Kansas City, that crazy Toronto crowd? Or, like, you know, you were there in Kansas City last night. How was that crowd? Are they as fired up as they were last year?
Yes. Oh my God. I mean, it's so loud. It was so loud here last night. It was so loud. The first time we were here. I mean, these fans are amazing, and they are into it. It was kind of the same thing as last year, but now, like, they're kind of used to being here. And I think the atmosphere, I don't know that you can put, you can really rank the atmospheres when you get to this point in the postseason. Like, everybody's going to be loud. Everybody's into it. And I don't think I've not seen, well, you know, Pittsburgh, I mean, for that wild card game, is the best atmosphere I've ever seen. But, like, last night, I'm watching these fans, and they were just so into it the entire time. But you're going to go to Toronto, you're going to get the same thing. And so these players feed off of any kind of crowd. When you get veteran players, especially, and guys that have done this before, I mean, they feed, even when the noise is against them, it fuels them. There's a adrenaline rush. And I think it's cool. I mean, it's one of the best parts of the postseason is every seat is filled, and it's fantastic.
So, And at least in Kansas City, they've yet to throw. I guess they're not throwing a lot of beer on the field. They do have those guys in the cat singlets. So, you know, if you remember from last year, there's two fans that dress up in cat singlets and go to every game. I've noticed.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're there. They were there for every one of the games last year, and they like to have their picture taken. They're like the Marlins man, except a little less irritating. I'm sorry.
I'll probably be writing about them. That's kind of my beat. So I'll probably look for the seek them out, singlets. Find them, and a big expose about them. So that's exciting.
Yeah, they'll be there. They'll be there. So I don't have quite understood what the cat singlet connection to the Royals are, but whatever. They're there. Good for them. So the way it's lining up, when I look at this series, to me, it's weird that the Blue Jays came so close to losing to the Rangers. They kind of like. Things kind of went weird on them the first couple of games. But it's funny. I kind of felt after Tulowitzki's homer in Game 3, I was like, oh, the Blue Jays are totally winning this series. Like, it felt like they were going to win that series, even though they were down 2-1, and even though, as we saw in Game 7, in Game 5, they were pretty close to actually losing that series. But it still felt, you know, there is this notion that we've had, even when the Blue Jays were below 500 and before they traded for Tulowitzki, everyone just keeps waiting for them to turn it on. And we've seen the last three games that they did. To me, this series comes down to the Blue Jays are a power team and the Royals are a run manufacturing team, so on. And while that's great, and people love to say in the playoffs you have to be able to manufacture runs, also, like, you know, one of the big things that helped the Royals get to the World Series last year were a lot of home runs. So, you know, I think that, to me, manufacturing runs is great. And I can see a time where we're in, like, the 10th inning, and the Royals will be happy to have Terrence score rather than Chris Caballo or whatever, the slugger for Toronto. But certainly, to me, the reason I like the Blue Jays in this series are two things. One, their lineup is just so strong top to bottom. But also, their pitchers are coming around. Like, the pitchers are coming around. Ventura's been looking good. Escobar's looking good. And of course, they've got Price. I feel like this is the Blue Jays team finally coming together. We were waiting to see all year, and I don't see the Royals being able to match up with that.
Yeah, I mean, you make good points because they do have power on their side, and you know, for me, it's always about pitching. It's really not about very much else. It's about your rotation. It's really about the bullpen and how much they're going to be able to hold up as October creeps on, which is, it's always the last man standing is always the one with the best bullpen. It'll be interesting to see, like, these two teams trying to neutralize each other and trying to exploit the weaknesses of the other. But when you talk about what the record was with the Blue Jays when Tulowitzki join them. And even though he wasn't, and we've talked about it, like he wasn't that productive, but they were 22-4. And you have to think that maybe there is something to that, because that's not really a small sample size. So I'm still, you know, it's funny. I mean, I just watched the Royals play very, very well. And I watched Johnny Cueto absolutely dominate the Astros last night, but I'm still like not totally sold and on board with the depth of their rotation. And so with that respect, you have to give it to the Blue Jays at this point.
Yeah, it is weird. I feel like Cueto, I mean, obviously, if he sits down 19 in a row every night, then that's going to be different. But, you know, as good as he pitched and he's kind of giving them what they've been wanting when they traded for him, you know, even if he pulls that off twice, you know, even if he does pull that off twice, and, you know, he's facing Estrada in his game three. He's facing Stroman in game three and then potentially game seven. Stroman's pitching really well, too. To me, that's what this comes down to. My one fear, and you bring up the bullpens, my fear with the Blue Jays on this is, you know, Roberto Osuna was great in the ALDS. He kind of faded late in the year, but he was great in the ALDS. This is still a guy that's 20 years old. It's kind of weird to think that the Blue Jays have this incredibly powerful lineup and these starters, this rotation is kind of coming together, and their closer is literally was not alive when the Blue Jays were last in the playoffs before this year, which is kind of crazy. So you wonder, but again, you know, there's a grand history of young closers dominating in the playoffs, not really knowing one way or the other how much pressure they're supposed to be feeling. So you wonder if he'll be able to pull that together. One thing I think is kind of strange is Randy Giuseppe wrote a piece for Grantley. He's a longtime Royals fan. He wrote a piece saying it's weird how the Royals feel like the Cardinals already this year, and not just in like they've been able to have some clutches in the playoffs, but they're also the team that everybody feels like they see all the time and they're sick of and kind of want to lose, which is weird because they're the Royals. Like last year, they were the Blue Jays. They were the Cubs last year, and we're already kind of like sick of the Royals. And you know, we talked at the beginning of this year when we first started doing this podcast in April about how the Royals had become like the bad guys, how they'd become the guys that throw at people. To me, of all the series we've had so far, when you think of how the Blue Jays series ended and how the Royals been all year, this is the closest one. This is the one where we might have a brawl.
Yeah, I mean, everyone is already like kind of licking their chops, and you see that, you know, people are starting to write about it, and everyone's starting to talk about it, and there is legitimate bad blood between these two teams that might go a little bit further than it's just the heat of the moment, and I said something stupid. I mean, I think it goes a little bit beyond that. So, and this time of year, you know, they are just so amped up. Everything is magnified. I mean, we saw Jose Bautista's reaction to his home run, which I thought was fantastic yesterday. But we also know Jose Bautista to be very even-keeled, very, like, you need to respect the game, very this and that. Yeah. And he just, that was, like, he controlled himself in that moment. And look what that moment was. He was he was very fired up. And so I think with the height of the emotions, the dislike the two teams have between each other, the fact that the pennant is on the line, I think that this could be an epic American League Championship Series.
Yeah, not to quote the Baseball Perspectives podcast again, but Sam Miller called that moment one of the more psychologically violent things he'd seen on a baseball field. And I think I wrote about this morning too. I feel like everybody loves it. This is my theory about this, and I won't get too far down this road. But like my theory is, like everyone wrote these things this morning, be like, we're so tired of these people who are saying they hate bat flips. That was awesome. But I actually really think it's only players that don't like bat flips, and even then, it's only when the other guy bat flips. If your guy bat flips, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I don't blame the Rangers. It's kind of like watching the Pirates in that wild card game, and they were so frustrated and so mad, and they saw this slipping away, and you saw some of the behavior that was just bizarre. And so, yeah, you know, if I'm just looking at it from a fan's perspective, and this is happening, and I'm a Rangers fan, like that is going to make me very, very mad what he did. What I saw, and I've interviewed him a couple of times for like a human interest story. And you know, Jose Bautista is like extremely intelligent, extremely confident. He's not like a warm and fuzzy guy, but he has had such a run of success for so long, and he's kind of like that guy that you look to. I don't know, even beyond just being a leader, he just defines like being a Major League Baseball player. And when he did that, it was like everything that had happened to that team coming up to that, and that unfortunate call that went against them, it could have cost them the game. And then when he just unleashed and that ball left the ballpark, it was like, you know, he just wanted to, like, you know, like sink down on his knees to do like a Brad Lidge thing when the Phillies won the World Series, but he had around the bases. And I just thought it was, I thought it was so much more controlled than what he actually could have done. And I think the Rangers kind of needed to look at it that way. And, you know, the Rangers are just mad. They're like, oh my God, we won these first two games and we are going home after this game. And so you're going to get a lot of things that they're going to say that I don't think that they would say tomorrow, for example.
Exactly. Like, I mean, sure. Forgive me. I forgot the name of Mason. I forgot the name of the pitcher. Whoever the pitcher was that gave up the home run to Boston.
Yeah.
His name is falling out of my head. But, like, you know, of course he's like, of course after the game he's gonna be like, I wish he hadn't done that. Of course he wish he hadn't done that because he wish he hadn't hit a home run off him. So, you know, I'm sure he's mad, and I get it. And you're right. And when the Rangers do it, they don't care. And this is, you know, not to get Cardinals thing, but Cardinals bat flip just like everybody else does. Nobody cares unless the other team does it, so it's fine.
Right. I mean, look what, like, I remember Albert Pujols, what his comment was after he hit that home run off of Brad Lidge, and I felt it's the worst I've ever felt for a baseball player in my entire life. I still, it's been 10 years, I cannot watch that home run if they show it on a highlight reel. I cannot watch it. I just felt so terrible for Brad, but Albert, after the game, said that when he hit that ball, it sounded like when you turn the remote control to mute on a television, and that's the way it was, so loud in that ballpark, and then you could hear the ball actually hit off of the facade in left field. It got that quiet, and it made me so mad. I'm like, I hate you, Albert Pujols. That's a stupid thing to say. It was actually like this incredibly cool, insightful, you know, making that comparison thing. And I think about it, I'm like, well, that's actually, you know, a pretty astute observation. But at the time, I'm like, you stupid Albert Pujols. So, you know, it happens.
Yeah, bat flips are awesome, and I think almost everybody actually does think they're awesome. So, you know,
yes, I thought it was, and that wasn't a bat flip. But I tweeted, I said it was a heave ho, and it was,
yeah, exactly.
It was very, it was so dramatic. It was so, it was great. I loved it.
It was great. It was awesome. So, okay, so let's. I feel like, you know, we haven't really previewed too much on this, but that's fine. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. So, give me a prediction of what's going to happen in this series, Blue Jays and Royals, for the World Series.
Well. It's probably going seven. Oh, goodness. Will, I don't know what to even say about this because I kind of felt like the Royals have the edge, but I think it's just because I've been sitting here watching like this amazing team play together and just be able to just do whatever they want to do to win a game. But you brought up some really good points. I mean, the Blue Jays have the better team. The Blue Jays have the better team, but the Royals have that fourth game at their home ballpark. And that might be, you know, I'm going to say Royals in seven.
Royals and seven, okay.
I
don't think this series is as close, actually. I like the Blue Jays a lot in this series. I think it's going to go – I'll give them six just because I really want to go Blue Jays in five because I want to see them win what I will always refer to as the Sky Dome, just like I will always refer to Houston Stadium as Enron Field. But I feel like that I like the Blue Jays in six. I'm going Blue Jays in six. You're going Royals in seven. No, but are you traveling to Toronto, or are you just going to be in Kansas City?
Oh, no, I'm in for the long haul. I'm traveling to Toronto. Are you kidding? I've come this far. I can't stop now.
Okay, so here I got a question because, you know, I'll be traveling. We'll wrap up with this. I'll be traveling to the World Series.
Great.
Wherever it is. Did you have to do the cell phone plan change? I've got my passport. That's all set up. But when you're in Toronto, do you have to, like, change? Don't you have to, like, change your plan? So, like, just roaming, doing anything doesn't make you broke?
I have absolutely no idea.
Oh, you should do that. This is my tip for you. This happened to be a couple years ago. I forgot to switch over my cell phone plan to an international plan, and next thing you know, my bill was like five times what it was. So,
I
recommend
sure
calling. I recommend calling before you go to Toronto to check that out. Because that's how they get you.
Got it.
All right.
All over it.
All right. Well, have a great time. Enjoy game one on Friday, and then safe travels for Toronto. I think we're going to actually probably talk tomorrow to preview the NLCS. We don't know. It'll be the Cubs, I think. I don't remember how that series went down. It'll be the Cubs against either the Dodgers or Mets, depending on what happens tonight. We'll preview that series. We'll do more previewing of that series than we did this series, I promise.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I think what we'll do is more talking about why the Cardinals lost, which is totally fine with me, by the way.
You know, I feel like this late in the game, it's not. We're not here to talk about the past, Allison. We're here to look forward and push forward. That's what the listeners want. They just like with this podcast, they want a preview that has like a couple. I basically listed the pitching matchups, and that was our preview and predictions, which counts. All right, Allison, right. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great time there. I'll talk to you tomorrow to preview the NLCS.
Okay, thanks, Will.
All right, be safe out there, everyone. This is the Willie's Experience Podcast, Footer and Leach Edition. Rate and review on iTunes. Follow Allison at Allison Footer, ALYSONFOOTER. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow with the NLCS preview.